Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most exciting and most misunderstood parts of your geography course, fieldwork in physical environments. Whether you investigated a river landscape or a coastal one, this episode is going to help you nail the exam questions that come up in paper 3. Here's the thing. Fieldwork questions are actually a gift. Why? Because you've done the work. You've been out there, boots on the ground, collecting real data. The exam is just asking you to reflect on what you did and why. So let's make sure you can do that brilliantly. By the end of this podcast, you'll understand exactly what examiners are looking for, the most common mistakes to avoid, and you'll have a set of key facts and phrases ready to use. Let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. Your fieldwork investigation is built around what we call the geographical inquiry cycle. Think of it as a five-step loop. You formulate inquiry questions, you collect data, you process and present that data, you analyse and interpret it, and finally, you evaluate and conclude. Every question in the exam is testing one of those five stages. So when you see a question, ask yourself, which stage is this about? Now, let's talk about the two environments you might have studied. Rivers first. If your fieldwork was in a river environment, your core aim was probably to investigate how and why river characteristics change downstream, or perhaps to investigate flood risk in a particular catchment area. The key quantitative method for rivers is measuring discharge. Discharge is calculated using the formula discharge equals cross-sectional area multiplied by velocity. So you'd measure the width and depth of the river channel at a cross section, that gives you the area, and then use a flow meter to measure how fast the water is moving. Multiply those together and you get discharge in cubic meters per second. Why does this matter? Because discharge increases downstream as more tributaries join the river, and examiners love asking you to explain why your data shows this pattern, or why it doesn't. Your qualitative methods for rivers would include sketching and annotating landforms, meanders, floodplains, river cliffs, slip-off slopes. You're recording what you observe, not measuring it numerically. And your secondary data? For rivers, the two most important secondary sources are ordnance survey maps to understand the drainage basin, gradient, and land use, and the Environment Agency's flood risk maps, which show which areas are at risk of flooding and why. These help you link your fieldwork to the implications for people living in the catchment area. Now let's switch to coasts. If your fieldwork was coastal, your investigation probably focused on how beach morphology changes along a stretch of coastline, or how effective coastal management is at protecting a particular location. The key quantitative method for coasts is the beach profile survey. You set up ranging poles at regular intervals across the beach, say every 5 metres, and use a clinometer or a hand level to measure the angle of the slope between each pair of poles. Plot these measurements and you get a cross-section of the beach shape. A steeper profile generally indicates a more reflective beach with coarser sediment. A gentler profile suggests a dissipative beach with finer material. You'd also measure sediment size and shape. Collect pebbles from different zones of the beach, the backshore, the foreshore, the nearshore, and measure their long axis with a ruler. Use the Powers roundness scale to describe their shape, from very angular to well-rounded. Sediment tends to become smaller and more rounded with distance from its source, due to attrition. Your qualitative coastal methods include recording the presence and condition of coastal landforms, cliffs, wave-cut platforms, arches, stacks, and auditing coastal management structures, like sea walls, groins, and rock armour. Secondary data for coasts includes geology maps, from the British Geological Survey, which tell you about rock type and resistance, helping explain why some sections of coast erode faster than others. You'd also use coastal flood risk maps and aerial photographs to track change over time. Here's the crucial link that many candidates miss. You must connect your physical fieldwork data to the implications for people. For rivers, that means flood risk. Who lives on the floodplain? What are the economic costs of flooding? How effective are flood defences? For coasts, it means coastal erosion threatening homes, businesses, and infrastructure, and the decisions communities face about whether to defend, retreat, or do nothing. Examiners will always award marks for this human dimension. Don't just describe the physical processes. Explain what they mean for people.
Right, let's talk exam technique.
Paper 3 fieldwork questions are worth a significant chunk of marks, so let's make sure you're getting every one you deserve. Tip 1. Always link back to your inquiry question. Every answer you give should reference the specific question your fieldwork was designed to investigate. Don't just describe what you did, explain why you did it and how it helped answer your inquiry question. Tip 2. Evaluate honestly. Examiners love it when candidates reflect critically on their methods. Did your flow meter give inconsistent readings because of turbulent water? Did the weather affect your beach profile results? Were there safety constraints that limited where you could collect data? Mention these, and crucially, suggest how you would improve the method if you did it again. Tip 3. Use the right vocabulary. Examiners are looking for precise geographical terminology. Don't say the water was moving fast. Say the mean velocity was 0.8 meters per second. Don't say the beach was steep. Say the beach profile showed a gradient of 12 degrees in the backshore zone. Now, the most common mistakes. Number 1. Candidates describe their fieldwork methods without justifying why they chose them. Always explain the rationale. For example, we used a flow meter rather than a float method because it provides a more accurate measurement of velocity at different depths across the channel. Number 2. Candidates forget secondary data. You must use at least 2 secondary sources, and you must explain how they support or challenge your primary findings. Number 3. Candidates ignore the human angle. Physical processes alone will not get you to the top mark bands. You need to discuss implications for people, flood risk, coastal erosion, management decisions, economic impacts. Time for a quick-fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the formula for calculating river discharge? Discharge equals cross-sectional area multiplied by velocity. Units are cubic meters per second. Question 2. Name 2 quantitative fieldwork methods for a coastal investigation. Beach profile survey using ranging poles and sediment size and shape analysis. Question 3. What secondary data source would you use to investigate flood risk in a river catchment? The Environment Agency flood risk maps. Question 4. What does the Powers roundness scale measure? The shape of sediment particles, from very angular to well-rounded. Question 5. Name 1 way physical processes have implications for people in a coastal environment. Coastal erosion threatens homes, businesses, and infrastructure, forcing communities to make decisions about coastal management. Let's wrap up. The key things to take away from today are these. First, know your inquiry cycle. Formulate, collect, process, analyze, evaluate. Every exam question maps onto one of those stages. Second, know your methods inside out. For rivers, that's discharge measurement, cross-section surveys, and bedload sampling. For coasts, it's beach profiles, sediment analysis, and wave frequency counts. Third, always use secondary data, OS maps and flood risk maps for rivers, geology maps and aerial photographs for coasts. Fourth, never forget the human dimension. Link your physical findings to the implications for people living in that environment. And fifth, evaluate critically. Acknowledge limitations, suggest improvements, and show the examiner that you think like a real geographer. You've got this. The fieldwork you did is real, your data is real, and your experience is genuinely valuable. Now go show the examiner exactly what you know. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.